If you're anything like us, you've mistakenly thought that the game of hockey was invented by Canadians and has essentially been the same game we see today, minus the oversized pads and helmets, for as long as there's been Canadians. But you'd be wrong. Hockey was a very different game 100 plus years ago, and this realization has us inspired to explore the history of hockey in a new series we call What the Fuck Hockey. And what better place to start than with the game itself, hockey. Believe it or not, we may have the Scottish to thank for the game of hockey. There is a pretty believable and long and bold line that you can draw from the game of hockey back to a game called Shinty that came from the Scottish. According to Wikipedia, Shinty is older than the recorded history of Scotland and is thought to predate Christianity. That's old. But Shinty itself is likely a variation of Irish hurling, so for our purposes, we've decided to start at Shinty. The game of Shinty is played with a stick that's about 3.5 feet long and looks a lot like a field hockey stick morphed with a modern day golf putter. The ball is a little bit smaller than a tennis ball and it's made out of cork wrapped in leather with a raised seam, a lot like a baseball. The playing field is anywhere from 140 to 170 yards long, and it has a goal at either end that you try to get a ball in, as many times as you can, more than the opposition. Sound familiar? The rules of the game are pretty simple. A player can play the ball in the air and is allowed to use either side of his stick. Sticks can be used to block and to tackle other players, but they're not allowed to bring the stick down on another player's stick, aka slashing. Although in the world of Shinty, this is called hacking. And another interesting rule is that a player may tackle using the body as long as it is shoulder-to-shoulder contact. That sounds a lot like a body check to me. Additional rules state that the player may only stop the ball with the stick, the chest, 2 feet together, or 1 foot on the ground. Not so sure about that one. Only the goalkeeper may use his hands, and then only with an open palm. He may not catch it. Playing the ball with the head constitutes a foul, whether intentional or not. This would be a fun rule for the NHL, and is deemed to be dangerous play. Other examples of dangerous play include playing the ball while grounded, which is pretty much the opposite of hockey, and reckless swinging of the caiman, or the stick, in the air, which might endanger the other player. That's very hockey. The rest of the rules of Shinty are much more like a soccer game, where you get 2 45-minute halves, you can have 12 players on the field, and you only get 3 substitutions. One thing that becomes pretty clear as you go through all this and try to figure out where these origins came from is that every game we play today has something to do with the games we played yesteryear, back in the day. And just like language, food, religion, and music, these people take their games with them as they travel across the sea to different countries, and then they use whatever landscape they have to reinvent their game, in this case, ice. If Shinty is in fact the origins of hockey in Canada, I can only imagine that the Scottish went over to Canada, tried to play in the fields that are all rough and swampy and frozen, and decided, you know what, this game would be a lot more fun if it was on a flat surface. How about that frozen pond? This is as good a time as any to remind you that I don't know this for sure. Nobody knows this for sure. Everything is a remix. Nothing happened for the first time ever in one place at one time. This could have happened in 5 different countries at 5 different times. But for me, this is the story that I think is most plausible and the one that I'm going to follow. Stick with me. If you ask me, the word shinny is about 3 Canadian whiskeys away from the word shinty, which means that it's very possible that they were trying to say shinty, but were saying shinny. That's what I'm going with. That's the leap that I'm making to say that shinty and shinny sound a lot alike. Now, when I grew up, I thought that shinny just meant that you were going to play some hockey either on a pond or on the ice with only your shin pads on so that you didn't accidentally get slashed. And while that's more true in modern times, back in the day, it just basically meant that you're going to go outside and play an informal game of hockey. If you've ever played a game of pickup hockey or shinny or even adult league hockey, you know that your team is as big as the amount of people who show up to play that day. Whereas in Shinty, each team would have 9 different players playing on a field of roughly 140 to 170 yards long. So if you're going to try to do an apples-to-apples comparison of Shinty to Shinny to basically a pickup hockey game, it's not going to work very well. So what makes a Shinny then, you ask? It's important to remember that a Shinny happened long before the NHL was created or there was a formal hockey game introduced with rules. So there are no rules, there are no positions, and in general there are no goaltenders. The goal is essentially whatever you point to and say from here to here is the goal, and often it was just snow or rocks or blocks, and I imagine eventually they created nets because they were tired of chasing the ball or the puck after they shot it. And because nobody's actually wearing any protective equipment at this point, you're not really allowed to do any of the body checking or the lifting of the puck. Which in itself is a departure from the original Shinty, where players would actually bounce the ball on their stick, much like Matt Duchene and Tyson Barrie do before games, to take it down the ice. It was sort of their version of dribbling or stick handling. Lastly, and you know this if you've played in pickup games, anyone can play, including your 4-year-old brother or your 8-year-old brother. If they're no good, they go on defense, and if they're really bad, possibly a little bit portly, they go in goal. Players would show up with homemade sticks and even brooms at times, which may have been the origins of broomball, to play this game. And in what seems like a scene from every movie you've ever seen that involves hockey, the formation of teams includes everybody throwing their sticks, or brooms in this case, in the middle of the ice, and the captain's picking the stick one by one and the player that goes with that stick until they have teams and they can start playing. And from shinty to shinny, these outdoor pickup games are what we know today as the essence of the game of hockey. Which brings us to a man who is known as the father of organized hockey. James George Alwyn Crichton. It would be fair to assume that a man with four names was pretty well to do back in his day, and that was definitely true of James. He was a lawyer, an engineer, a journalist, and of course, as a hockey player, an athlete. Being the prominent man that he was, Crichton would sometimes act as a figure skating judge at the Victoria Skating Club's Victoria Skating Rink. As a member of this club, he took it upon himself to organize some early morning sessions of informal hockey. I've always wondered who I had to thank for those early morning practices. Thanks, James. On March 3, 1875, the first recorded indoor ice hockey game took place at the Victoria Skating Rink in Montreal, Canada. The ice surface for the first ever organized hockey game was 204 feet by 80 feet wide. That's pretty close to the 200 foot by 85 foot rink that the NHLers play in today. But unlike today's modern game, the boards were exactly 1 foot tall and about 10 feet long so that people could put their chairs there and sit and watch the game. And to ensure that the spectators weren't hurt, and also to ensure they didn't break any of the windows in the building, they used a wooden puck instead of a lacrosse ball, which is explained in the official announcement that went like this. Bear with me here. Victoria Rink. A game of hockey will be played at Victoria Skating Rink this evening between two nine-shows from among the members. We'll assume that was good grammar back in the day. Good fun may be expected, as some of the players are reputed to be exceedingly expert at the game. Some fears have been expressed on part of the intending spectators that accidents were likely to occur through the ball flying about in too lively of a manner, to the imminent danger of lookers-on, but we understand that the game will be played with a flat, circular piece of wood, thus preventing all danger of its leaving the surface of the ice. Subscribers will be admitted on presentation of their tickets. Did I mention that he was a writer, by the way? And for those of you wondering how the game actually went that night, luckily, we have a game report as well. Under the headline of Hockey. At the rink last night, a very large audience gathered to witness a novel contest on the ice. The game of hockey, though much in vogue on the ice in New England and in other parts of the United States, is not much known here, and in consequence, the game of last evening was looked forward to with great interest. I'll take a quick moment here to point out to you that this is considered the first organized game of hockey because it was played indoors. The game report goes on to say, hockey is played usually with a ball, but last night, in order that no accident should happen, a flat block of wood was used so that it should slide along the ice surface without rising, and thus going among the spectators to their discomfort. The game is like lacrosse in one sense, the block having to go through flags placed 8 feet apart in the same manner as the rubber ball. But in the main, the old country game of shinty gives the best idea of hockey. The players last night were 18 in number, 9 on each side, and were as follows. They go on to list each player who actually played in the game. I'll spare you the phonics sparring of trying to pronounce their names. The match was an interesting and well-contested affair. The efforts of the players excited much merriment as they wheeled and dodged each other. And notwithstanding the brilliant play of Captain Torrance's team, Captain Crichton's men carried the day, winning 2 games to the single of the Torrance 9. The game was concluded at about 9:30, and the spectators then adjourned well satisfied with the evening's entertainment. That may be the hardest English I've ever read. And for all of you going, hey wait, there was no fight in the first ever hockey game that was organized and played indoors? Well, actually there was, but it wasn't with the players on the ice, it was actually with the members of the club who were pissed off that there was a hockey game going on in their figure skating rink. This was evidently the origins of the pissing match between figure skaters and hockey skaters for ice time and for good ice. As a hockey player, I'll note that figure skaters mess up the ice way more than hockey players, but I digress. And according to the Kingston, Ontario Daily British Whig, shins and heads were battered, benches smashed, and the lady spectators fled in confusion. That actually sounds a bit more like the game I know today. So from a shinty to a shinny to the game of hockey as we know today, much has changed, and some things haven't changed at all. But seriously, what the fuck with the name hockey? It's not mentioned anywhere in any of this, and if you go back and you look, there's really no clear origin of the name of hockey. For me, the most likely case is that it came from the 1573 statue of Galway that banned a sport called hockey. This was essentially hurling a ball in the air with sticks and staves. And much like a shinty is to a shanty, a hockey is to a hockey, and they're only a couple of drinks away from slurring the same word. The first known mention of the word hockey came in 1773 in a book called Juvenile Sports and Pastimes. In chapter 11 of this book, Richard Johnson, the author, notes new improvements on the game of hockey. To which I exclaim again, what the fuck, hockey? Where the hell did you come from? I think that if we're going to give out any official credit for the game of hockey, we have to worry less about the name and more about the man himself, the man who brought it to the people, good old Crichty. I hereby declare that the game of hockey was in fact invented in Canada, at least the game as we know it today, and we have James George Allan Crichton to thank for it. We shall all raise our glasses and thank this man every time we have a drink before we go out and play some adult league hockey. A toast to the father of organized hockey, James Crichton. If you like this podcast, tell your friends about it, and then go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey and subscribe. Or just go to the coloradohockey.com website and click on the button that says Get It on iTunes. And while you're at coloradohockey.com, look at the show notes and click on all the links. This is where we found our information, and you might find some information there that we didn't know about. And if you do, tell us. We'd love to hear it. This show is brought to you by ABSFAM, A-B-S-F-A-M, the coolest hockey shirts you can't find anywhere else because they're not available anywhere else. Stay awesome.